Hey, I'm so glad to see you today. Glad you could be here for this service of worship. We want to welcome you and all the folks who are watching online this morning as well. We have all the different services that we offer. We've got the beach service. Last week, we had two services at the beach. We had a sunrise and the normal time. We had a lot of people at the beach. We had a lot of people at the two services here on campus. We used to have more services before COVID, and then people started watching us online, and they got used to it. And they're still at home in their pajamas. I don't think they've dressed ever since COVID. They're still there. But God bless them for it. They're very faithful, and they watch us. So let's say hi to you, and, you know, next time put your robe on, okay? It would help me. All right, listen, we're going to talk about a new series today. We're going to talk about from Passover to Pentecost. And I was in graduate school and seminary before I learned the benefit of understanding how the Old Testament goes together with the New Testament as well as it does. I knew they were both important. I knew they were tied together, but I really didn't appreciate them until I had some great professors in Old Testament. Today, we're going to take a glimpse of a little bit of that. There are 324 plus prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled. They were prophesied in the Old Testament. They were fulfilled in the New Testament. Now, what are the chances of him fulfilling all of those prophecies, you know, and during his time on earth and his 3 years of ministry? It takes more faith not to believe in Jesus than it does to believe in him. Amen? Yeah. So today we're going to see that. And I ask you to stay with me because it's going to be beneficial, I believe. Now, April 22nd through April 30th is Passover this year. And then on May 19th, that's Pentecost. And that's the Sunday, the last Sunday of this series. So we're going to walk through this together. And together that you'll be here every week. I think it'll be beneficial to you.
Now, after Easter, you know, when Jesus rose, he was on the earth for 40 days. So this is after the resurrection. Then the disciples are praying and fasting and seeking God for 10 days. And then they have Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It's when the church was born. Now, the background of Passover, we think about Passover as a day on the Jewish calendar, and it is, but it's not just a day. We're celebrating what that day represents. Now, the day is the 14th day of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. Now, a lot of people look at that and they pronounce it Nisan. That's not correct. You would be incorrect if you said that. So just understand it's the 14th day of Nisan. There's a reason I'm telling you that. Now, this was about 3,500 years ago that Passover was implemented. And then about 2,000 years ago, it was fulfilled by Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at today. There were three major feasts in Israel. Anybody here like to eat? Anybody here besides me? I'm what's considered a full gospel preacher. How much did you pay to get in here, really? Okay, so there are these three feasts, and they are Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, you've also heard about seven feasts, and that's really confusing, isn't it? But I'm going to explain to you how there's seven, okay? Here's what I want you to see. There's Passover, and they have three feasts within Passover, okay? So Passover is a feast, but then there's three in built into it. Then there's Pentecost, it's just one. And then there is Tabernacles, and there are three feasts underneath Tabernacles too. So it's kind of like if you had an outline, you'd have Passover, then you'd have 1, 2, 3 underneath it. Then you'd have Pentecost, and then you'd have Tabernacles, 1, 2, 3 underneath that.
So if you add that up, that comes to seven. Okay, Passover is Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. And so that's what happened 2,000 years ago. We experienced that. Now, Passover was unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits. And 50 days later, Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came, we had the birthday of the church. Now, in Tabernacles, there are three feasts as well. The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. And tabernacle, it just means to dwell with. It means that God's going to live with us. That's what heaven is going to be. God's going to live with us in heaven forever. He lives with us for all eternity. He dwells with us. He tabernacles with us. And that is fulfilled at that time. Now, when he fulfilled Passover, you can partake in the fulfillment of Passover today, of unleavened bread and of first fruits, by simply accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how you do that now. You partake in the fulfillment of this feast that they celebrated, the Jewish people celebrated. Even though you weren't alive then, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit fell on the people. You can partake of that, opening up your life to allow him to control your life, give you direction, speak to you, the still small voice of God leading you in life. And when the Lord comes back for believers, then you can partake in the fulfillment of tabernacles and trumpets of atonement as well. And so you follow him. Now, just let me share two things with you, okay, about Jesus coming back. The first thing is that he will return. That's for sure. It's going to happen. The second thing is nobody knows when. If people tell you when, just say, I'm glad we talked. Have a nice day. Bye. I got to go. And go read your Bible, okay? Just spend some time with the Lord because nobody knows the day. In fact, Jesus said, we don't know the day. And we ask all the time. We want to know because we're curious. I've told you, I'm the firstborn. I'm curious. I ask a lot of questions. Just ask my staff. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. But they'll tell you, I ask a lot of questions. But you know, he said, it's not for you to know. You don't need to concern yourself with that. The disciples said the same thing. When's it going to happen? When is the kingdom going to be here, Lord? We want to know that. And he said, you need to concern yourself with being my witnesses. And then he told them where. Acts 1:8, you need to write that down. That's our purpose. That's our mission as a church. We're supposed to do what Acts 1:8 says. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem is the local area right here. Okay? And then Judea is the region. Samaria, that represents the places you might not be comfortable, that you might not want to go. You might not feel comfortable ministering to somebody in the hospital. You might not feel comfortable ministering to someone in prison. In those days, the Samaritans were looked down upon. And so it's wherever you don't feel comfortable, that's where God says we got to go as well. And then the rest of the earth. Now listen, I want you to hear this clearly. When we practice mission in the church, you don't pick one of those. And you don't say, why are we going way over there when we could be doing stuff right here? We're already doing stuff right here. So get over it, okay? We're doing stuff right here. We're doing stuff regionally. We're doing stuff, you know, beyond this area to places maybe you don't want to go. We're doing it internationally as well. And it's all four tied together. And then he said, you just need to be concerned with winning people to Christ. That's the main thing. Just tell people about me so they'll come to know me. Farrah got a chance. She had divine appointments. She was on the plane flying back and forth. She's a jet setter. She's just flying here and there all the time. You know, it's an exciting life to be fair. I'm just saying to you. And so that's what she does. But she's in graduate school. So she's got to fly to Kentucky. And she and Carmen are getting ready to graduate in May. Yay! Yeah. Carmen was really excited about that. And then also, Cameron's in school. She's working on her doctorate. And she just started. So she's down the road a little bit. But we're keeping an eye on you. And we're watching your grades. I'm just saying, no pressure. No, they're all doing really well. And we're helping them through school. God bless them for it. Okay? Now, Jesus said there's seven feasts. Three times a year, Israel had planting, it had first fruits, and it had harvest. And God brought them together for these feasts. In fact, let me tell you what Passover means. In Exodus, it says this, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts there, those are the two sides, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Now, do you realize that's good news? Because here's what we're talking about. You remember Moses, and you remember Moses was in Egypt, and you remember what he said. Let my people go. It's the same thing I kept telling the Methodist church. Let my people go. And we got out, didn't we? Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. So we got out. Okay. Well, that's what we wanted to do because that's what we felt led to do. But here's what happened. You know, the Pharaoh would not let the people go. Now, if you read the story, there were 10 plagues that happened, right? Those 10 plagues were tied to the false gods that the Egyptians worshiped, the gods and goddesses. See, we got one God, and he's over everything. And when we pray to him, he takes care of everything. The Egyptians at that time, they had a lot of different gods for different things. And, you know, that's who they would pray to, depending on what the need was. Which God am I going to pray to? God says, hey, that doesn't really work. I'm in charge of all of that. And that's the kind of God you want. If you're going to have a God, you want one who's in control, right? And that's our God, okay? So he says, here's what's going to happen. He said, part of the plague was because Pharaoh hardened his heart. He wouldn't listen. You know, the firstborn children are going to die of the Egyptians. But if you're an Israelite, what I want you to do is I want you to kill a lamb, and I want you to put blood over the top of the door, and I want you to put it on the sides of the door. When the death angel comes, he will pass over you and go on to the Egyptians and go into their family, and they will lose children because of it. The Lord will not allow the destroyer, angel of death, to come into your house, okay? And that's the 10th plague, and it's tied to these gods and goddesses. So here you see, it says in Numbers, also on their gods, the Lord had executed judgment. And so what he's saying is, no, you're not the God of water, okay? He says, I'm the God of water. In fact, I can turn water into blood. No, you're not the God of animals. No, you're not the God of light and darkness. I'm the God of light. I control that. No, you're not the God of life and death. I control that. And he's basically letting them know, I'm bringing judgment to the people. So you need to know God brought the judgment. The destroyer came, and God says, I will pass over, and the destroyer won't come in and won't take affect you, okay? In Exodus, he goes on, it says this, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now here's something you may never have noticed before. Leave that scripture up, please, because I want you to catch this. When you read this, something jumps out to you, but maybe you've read it and read it and read it, and you've never noticed it. I want you to catch it today, because here's the thing that he's saying. This will be a sign for who? For you. Now, you would have thought that he would have said, the blood will be a sign for me to pass over your house, right? But God already knows. He doesn't need an outward sign because he knows your heart. So what does God do? God says it's going to take faith for you to kill a lamb. It's going to take faith for you to go and take the blood and put it on top of the door and put it on the sides of the door. And so I want you to just be obedient to me. Because God asked the Israelites to do all kinds of things that wouldn't make sense to us today. But God sometimes asks us to do things and we're going, what does that have to do with anything? And he's saying, just trust me. Just be obedient. Just do what I'm asking you to do. And so he told the children of Israel, he said, just go around the city 6 times and don't say a word. We're talking about Jericho. Yep. And on the 7th time, I want you to shout. Okay? Can you imagine what it was like those first 6 times and all the people of Jericho are watching and they're going, what are they doing? What's wrong with these people? Have they been drinking? What's going on here with them? The 7th time, what do? They shout and the walls came tumbling down. And then the folks of Jericho said, what are we doing? We need to do what they're doing. We're in trouble now, right? And so we just know that that blood is a sign, and that's what I want you to do. And then the Passover is used in Scripture referring to 3 subjects, and those are going to be our points today. All right, we're going to look at those together. the festival of Passover, the meal, and the lamb. Those are the three that we're focused on. So here's the point. The first one is the festival. And I want to show you in Scripture in Exodus first, and then I'm going to show you some New Testament Scripture where it's fulfilled, okay? So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Now, you might not know this, but the root word of festival is feast. That's where we get that, okay? And so, in other words, I want you to have a festival. I want you to have a feast. Now, in Matthew, Jesus said, and you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. God wanted his people to come together. He wanted them to celebrate. He likes it when they celebrate and they feast together. You've heard sermons, and I've preached sermons, and I've practiced fasting. We know about fasting, right? And so most of my life, I've done that. But then a few years ago, I was diagnosed diabetic, and they said, well, you really can't do that anymore because it'll mess up your system. And in fact, you need to eat certain things at certain times, and you need to take your insulin. And so I kind of have to stay on a schedule for that to occur, all right? But, you know, back in the day, I liked to feast. I get to eat now, but I don't get to eat as much, and I don't get to eat just anything, okay? I don't get to eat what you eat. No, I'm just teasing. I'm cutting up. But really, you know, I have to be careful about that. But God, he likes for us to get together. What do? The men get together, and they have a barbecue here, and they're really good at it. I mean, they got in a contest, and they years ago, the first time they did it, they were in a contest with the businesses in town, and they won first place. And so they didn't want to alienate anybody, and so they quit being in the contest anymore, but they kept cooking the barbecue. How many of you have eaten the barbecue? What's the matter with the rest of you in your spiritual life? Let me just ask you. Because it's great barbecue. It really is. There's a lot of different things they make. Well, here's what I want you to see. Not just fasting, but feasting is a part of God. And so it says in Leviticus, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits. Now, what's a sheaf? It's a bundle of grain. They would collect the harvest. They would bundle it up in the field. Then they would bring it in, you know, by the sheaf. You used to sing a song years ago in church, bringing in the sheaves. You ever hear that song? When I was a kid, I would stand on the pew and I would hold the hymn book upside down because I couldn't read anyway. And I just sang what it sounded like to me, bringing in the sheaves, because that's what it sounded like to me. But they're talking about sheaves here. It's bundles of grain, okay? And Jesus fulfilled in the Passover, the unleavened bread, and first fruits. And he says, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. Today, what do? We give God his tithe and our gifts and offerings. That's the first fruits that we offer him. We give to him. If you go to Africa and you go to church in Africa, they run. They run down the aisle and they come up front to give the offering, the tithe to God. It's my chance to give something to God. Like little children, they come. It's the highlight of the service for them. They're so excited. God gives me everything else. Here's my chance to give him something. I'm going to give. What do little children do? When back before COVID, BC, we would pass the plate, right? Now we just have baskets, but we would pass the plate and people would give. What do little children do when that happens? They're sitting in church. Give me some monies. I want some monies. I want to put some money in. Well, I'll put some in for you. No. I want to do it myself. Don't you love that about little children? They want to do it for themselves. That's what we do. We're God's children. We say, I want to give to you, Lord. I want to show you that I love you in a tangible way, because God says, I want you to do this to be obedient. That's really what it's all about. It may not make sense to you, but he's saying, here, just trust me. Because when you do this, what happens? You learn to trust me in this area of your life, because you give it first. You give it first. You give it first. And then you live on the balance, okay? And so that's what he teaches us to do. You shall bring the sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. And it was brought forth. On the day, it says, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, Jesus, you remember in Passover, what happened was he was crucified on Passover on Friday. And then he was in the tomb on the Sabbath. If you go to Israel, Saturday is when the Jews, that's their Sabbath, okay? So if you're in Israel and it's Friday night and you're in Jerusalem and you got a little phone in your room, the light starts blinking at 6 p.m. on Friday night and it says Shabbat. Sabbath is starting. And if you don't have anything to eat, you're in big trouble. You're going to be fasting. That's what's going to happen to you, okay? Because things shut down and you got to be prepared for that to occur. And then the last thing is the day after the Sabbath was when he was raised from the dead. The sun came forth that morning, early that morning. So that is the first fruits that we celebrate. Now, let me show you the New Testament fulfillment of all this stuff. The first fruits, the unleavened bread, and the Passover. And it's in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. Okay? In other words, God takes leaven. And you remember in the Bible, they would take the leaven, they would have it, they would pinch off some so they could make some more later. They were always making the bread. Well, the leaven represents the law and sin. And now the unleavened is what we experience now, the unleavened bread, because of what Jesus did for us. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He was the lamb who was sacrificed for us. They would sacrifice a lamb. They would give it to God. Why? Because they were saying, we love you. We put you first. We're going to give you the best lamb, the one that will bring the most at the marketplace. We're not giving you one that's about to die or one that's sick. We're giving you our best because we want to show you that we love you in a tangible way. So there's two of the three, unleavened bread and Passover. And then it goes on and it says this, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so we see these three different feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, okay? And the Jewish people, they observe that because they're looking for the Messiah. The Passover for us, in the Jewish people, they would take the bread, the unleavened bread, and there are three pieces. Now, what do we say? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice they take the middle piece of the matzah that they're getting, the Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus at the Passover meal, he did something different that had never been done before at the Last Supper. You know, they had practiced the Passover. They had done it all their lives. They all knew it. The disciples understood it. They knew all about it. Jesus said, things are going to be different now because I am the fulfillment of this prophecy. So from now on, when we take communion together, we're going to be celebrating the fact that I am the Son of God and I'm coming to save people from their sins. It blew their minds. They had never heard anything like that before. And so that's what they did. And he said, this is my body. This is my blood. The middle piece of matzah, the Jewish people, they take it today. They break it. They wrap it in cloth. Do you remember what they did to Jesus when they took him down off the cross? They wrapped him in cloth. You remember what happened to his body after he came off the cross? They wrapped him in cloth. And then the father of the Jewish household takes it and he hides it somewhere in the house. And then on the day after the Sabbath, early in the morning when the sun's coming up, the children go and hunt for it. They look for it. And when they find it, they bring it out and then they wave it before the Lord as a first fruits offering. Do you see how the New Testament is fulfilled, you know, from the Old Testament prophecy? You see how all that ties together? They're connected. It's all right there. And so it fulfilled the scripture about Jesus. So the number one is the festival. Number two is the meal. And it says this in Exodus, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Because they were going to leave quickly, he delivers us quickly, so they eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And he's not talking about the festival here or a day. He's talking about a meal. In Luke, it says this, Then he said to them, with fervent desire, have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He's not talking about a day there that he wants to eat. He's talking about, I've desired to have this meal with you. I've desired to have this fulfilled for you. He's talking about his body and his blood. And then in Matthew it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And by the way, when they use that word there, the word is, when they talk about giving thanks, they're talking about Eucharisto. That's the word he was using. Well, that's where we get the word Eucharist from, and it simply means to give thanks. And it comes from right there. Now, this was 3 years before, what I'm getting ready to tell you, was 3 years before Jesus had the Last Supper. Jesus and the disciples had the Last Supper in his third year, right before he was crucified, okay? But in his first year, it's a beginning, he makes a statement. And this is before they ever did communion the way we do it, okay? It's in John 6:53. It said, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of my Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, that particular verse right there is not really talking about the Lord's Supper. What that's really talking about there is really he's talking about salvation. So you can't just come in off the street, take the blood, take the body, then receive it, and then go back out and live any way you want to. He's saying, no, it's a relationship with me. It's the Lord's Supper. It's a type of communion, but it's more than that. It's a salvation experience with me. So to please me, I want you to hear this. The scriptural book written by the Spirit to the Spirits who listen, it's not just something in the natural, you understand, but God's revelation comes to us as we read his word. His Holy Spirit draws us in, and suddenly it jumps off the page at you, something you've read before. It becomes alive. And Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And then he goes on and he says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Now, what I want you to catch there is that word abides, because abides is the key word in that scripture. What does it mean to abide in God and for God to abide in us? It says in John 15, if you abide in me, you bear much fruit. But that doesn't tell you how to do it. So if you search the word abide in Scripture, 1 John 4:15, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is in God. And so it's not just about the flesh and the blood. It's about confessing our sins to Jesus, accepting him as our Savior. I want you to go on there. And in Matthew, it says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. What's he talking about? He's saying that Jesus died for you publicly. And I want you to confess him as your Lord and Savior publicly. There are no secret disciples. Confess him. Okay? So number three then, once we've seen those first two, is the lamb. This is the last one. And in Exodus, it says this, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And so he's not referring to a festival. He's not referring to a meal here. He's referring to the lamb. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover, the sacrifice, must be killed. He is the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. And so that's what happened. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. This is John, the first chapter, 28, 29. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he calls him the Lamb of God. And here's what I want you to see. The 10th day is when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. On the 14th day, that's the day that he would then be crucified. The Passover would come. Now, it was the 14th day of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. It's not a Nissan. It's not a Toyota. It's not a Honda. It's the 14th day of Nisan. And that's the day he's going to die. But on the 10th day, before that happened, something else happened. And that's when they would take the sacrifice and they would separate the sacrifice from the rest of the animals. They would take that sacrifice on the 10th day. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he knew that he was separated from the people because he was going to be sacrificed. You see how it all ties together? Back in Exodus it says, and they shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses, and then they will eat it, where they eat it. And the Lord told them, if you put the blood on your two doorposts, that's when it's going to happen. It's going to be on top and on the sides. Now, here's what I want you to see. We're going to wrap it up. When Jesus was on the cross, what'd they do? They put a crown of thorns on his head, so there's blood on the top. And then they took nails and they put them in his hands. And then they took nails and they put them in his feet. So it represents the blood that was around the door. None of that's by accident. It's all a plan. It's a fulfillment of what God said was going to happen. Jesus, the Passover Lamb. You always need to know, if you're a believer in Jesus, what he's saying is, I'm going to protect my people. I'm going to protect my people from the death angel. The death angel's coming to the Egyptians because they don't know me, but not my people. They're going to be spared. So today we're going to pray together, and maybe you might want to make a decision for Christ. Let's do that now. Father, I know this is a lot of scripture, and I know it's a lot of new stuff, and it's a lot of stuff from the Old Testament. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us get the main thing, and that is that the prophecies from the Old Testament are fulfilled in the New Testament, and many of them are fulfilled through your Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, over 324 of them. And there's no way that could happen unless you put it all together. And so today, Lord, we want to know you and walk with you and live with you for all eternity. And Lord, I just want to pray that if there's anybody here today who doesn't know you, that they'll just listen and follow me in this prayer real quickly before we close. So right now, if you're sitting there and God's Spirit is speaking to you and you want to know him, you can just quietly to yourself, you can pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart, okay? Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Savior, and I thank you for saving me. Lord, I look forward to living with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.